For many years now, Eleanor Southwood has been involved with RNIB, including serving as chair. Now, that time has come to an end and Ellie will be moving on. And we thought we'd catch up with her just before she departs RNIB. Ellie, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all. I knew I wouldn't be allowed out of the building without doing a Connect radio interview.
Absolutely not. I said depart RNIB, that sounds a bit official, but you know, your term is coming to an end. So let's talk a little bit about your time here, because obviously you've had involvement with RNIB out with being chair as well. Where did it kind of begin?
Let me take you right back. So I was born with an eye condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis, for folks who are interested in definitions. I haven't had any useful sight since forever. So RNIB has always been part of my life, and throughout my school days and so on, my relationship with RNIB could be summed up as van loads of braille books coming to my house, you know, tactile watches I learned to tell the time on, and all of those sort of products and service type things. So it was always an organization that I knew of. In all honesty, my perception of RNIB was that it was quite stuffy, bit old-fashioned. I remember, you know, some of the products that we did in those days, whilst the colour contrast, I'm sure, was really helpful for people, they weren't necessarily the most aesthetically pleasing or coolest products. So I guess feel that RNIB was perhaps a bit old-fashioned. So wind forward, well, until 10 years ago, when I was working as a headhunter, helping charities and local government recruit directors and trustees. And I met my predecessor, Kevin Carey, who came into the office. We had a chat. I told him everything I thought was wrong about RNIB. You know, and he said, well, you have choices. You can continue to feel like that and to sort of snipe about it, or you can get involved and help to change it and be part of our future. So I chose the latter and was lucky enough to be recruited as a trustee. So, do you know, in some ways it feels like I've been a trustee of RNIB my whole life. In other ways, it feels like 5 minutes.
It's an important part, though, of RNIB, isn't it? Having the trustees and the chair there kind of overseeing things and having blind and partially sighted people on that board is hugely important as well.
It's absolutely essential. And because it's about our credibility, isn't it? So, you know, if we are saying to employers, blind and partially sighted people are exactly as talented as our sighted peers, we need to be demonstrating that blind and partially sighted people hold leadership positions within our own organisation. It's something that I know that the current team are really committed to continuing and to improving on and building, because it's also something we do need to build on, because very often people aren't getting opportunities to develop the skills and confidence to apply for senior roles. So we will be doing more on that, I'm confident.
And your term as chair, I think it's probably safe to say it's been a bit of a roller coaster for the charity the past few years, you know, whether that's things the charity is involved in or, you know, through a COVID pandemic. I suppose we can't really say it's been dull.
No, I can honestly tell you I have never felt bored or that, you know, there wasn't lots of stuff to be getting stuck into. And in many ways, some things that were within our control, some things that weren't within our control, have all come together, I think, to make this 3 years that I've been chair quite a pivotal time in the organisation's history. I went into becoming chair as we rebranded with the See Differently branding, and which I am absolutely so pleased with it, because it talks about a real change in how we think about blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, we think of people for who they are rather than, you know, disability that we happen to have or anything like that. So we move from a position of caring for, perhaps, or, you know, looking after, or perhaps even, dare I say it, feeling a bit sorry for folks who can't see, to a position of, you know, this is about seeing the world differently and respecting everyone's lived experience. And I am so proud of the way that RNIB has embraced that change and will, I know, take that forward too.
I've worked with RNIB for a very long time now. I would probably say that the past probably 3 to 4 years, definitely the past 3 years anyway, the charity's probably become more relevant, more modern, and actually listened to blind and partially sighted people more, and probably has a more futuristic look at what they need to do now. Would that be a fair point?
I really hope so. And one of the things that I've always been keen to drive is a more inclusive RNIB. So I think, you know, we have a really important heritage and a really great history, recent history of involving blind and partially sighted people. But very often those people came from quite a narrow demographic, quite a narrow age range, were primarily men. And I should, you know, also say that, you know, I'm hugely pleased to have been RNIB's first female chair in our 150-year history, and that my successor, Anna, is also a woman. So I think we've rung some changes there as well, because we are diverse. And my predecessor was always fond of saying, and I think he was probably right, that RNIB knew a lot about blindness, but not much about blind people. And I think I can safely say that that's no longer true.
If I was to say, let's look at some highlights of your term as chair, I'm sure there's lots of them. You mentioned the whole rebranding, the C yeah. differently, that change of focus.
Yes, the first one is kind of around that branding. And it's about how we use that branding to share lived experience. And I loved that we did some quite humorous adverts, for example, about, you know, sight loss isn't the be all and end all. We're not all entirely defined by the fact that we can't see. Sometimes other things are important too. I think that took some real courage and confidence, because we are quite a traditional charity. And I think that that courage and confidence has really paid off in talking about the experience of being blind or partially sighted and making it so that it resonates with everyone. Most of the experiences we have are shared human experiences.
The highlights, well, I suppose, are quite difficult to narrow down, aren't there? There've been so many things. When you look at the pandemic as well, and yeah. the way the RNIB has had to work with commerce, work with government to get the wheels of politics turning a little bit quicker with things like access to food and medicines and support there. It's almost as if, you know, the charity began working mostly at home, but somehow ramped up the power and the pressure.
It was really amazing. And that feels strange to say that the COVID experience has been a highlight. But in terms of us doing what it is we're fundamentally here to do, I think it really is. And I think it's a testament to all of the changes that have been going on behind the scenes for the last couple of years in terms of our finances, in terms of, you know, how we work and modernising our working practices. I think all of that came together in our response to COVID. You know, I think that was something that everyone involved should be really proud of. And RNIB will be a really important lifeline for lots of people.
There have been some pretty tough times, as you say. You know, finance is probably up there. Lots of charities are struggling. We had the Charity Commission report as well. You know, with those highlights, there were also some pretty difficult times and some choppy waters to guide through.
There were. So when I became chair, the thing that I worried about was our finances and our money. And you might remember in that year, we filed a deficit of £12 million. And some of that we knew about and was kind of structural and built in. Some of it was not, though, and all of it was completely unsustainable. So that's the thing I thought I would worry most about in my time as chair. And we went through a pretty intense couple of years, really, of financial transformation. And I know that was not easy for staff, because you don't get from a £12 million deficit to a sort of £5 million surplus without some really hard work and some really tough decisions. So I think whilst it was very difficult, I am really proud of how the organisation rallied round and got us to a much better place, which has meant that in this year of COVID, when lots of charities, you'll see in the charity press, are really struggling. And it's tough for us too. You know, don't get me wrong. Of course it is, because lots of fundraising we can't do and all of that sort of thing. But I'm very confident that our finances are stable and that it will be OK. And that is not something I would have been confident about a couple of years ago. And then 6 months into me becoming chair, we had the Charity Commission open its inquiry. And clearly that was an extremely difficult experience. And it was hard personally as well, because I wasn't new to RNIB. I had been a trustee for the previous few years. And therefore, I was part of a board and a governance structure that had really seriously let down children and families who should have expected the best from us. It was very difficult. And we have been through almost 2.5 years now with the Charity Commission of real turnaround and improvement. And I think lots of that improvement is about processes. And now the next challenge will be making sure those processes are really embedded so that the mistakes can never be made again. And lots of changes cultural as well. And really focusing on our core mission and what we are here to do. And it's a good opportunity, isn't it, to really thank everyone who's been involved in all our services over the years, because things change. And I'm really proud of the older people's care homes, our colleges and schools over the years. And whilst they are transitioning into new hands, we will make sure those hands are expert, and that will enable us to focus on what we do best. And so that's a big shift for RNIB. It's taken lots of courage from lots of people, but it has been really important to make sure we can be the best we can be, and that the mistakes that happened around the RNIB Pair Centre just could not happen again.
You're helping Anna to settle into the, the big chair as well. Will it be difficult, though, just, you know, that final handing over of the reins on that final day?
I think it will, because RNIB has been such a huge part of my life in terms of Anna and the board, also in terms of obviously Matt, who we recruited just over a year ago, and the executive team that he's building, and all of our staff and volunteers. So I know I leave RNIB in really great hands, but of course it does feel a bit sad and a bit strange to be moving on to the next chapter in my life. And I'm really excited about seeing how RNIB goes forward too.
Ellie, good luck with the future. Do come back and talk to us again.
Oh yeah, well absolutely. I'd love to.
And thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.